Thank you. Please have your passcode and conference leader's name available. A coordinator will assist you momentarily.
About 6 minutes.
I understand.
So you may have a little delay. Understood.
Apologies for that, Marilyn. It's actually due to the fact that this Lennon is listed as the call leader.
Oh, I just assumed they were really busy.
And so it took a while before we sorted that out.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
So we'll probably be just a couple of minutes behind starting, maybe more than a couple of minutes behind it starting, but as is my want, we'll just have to make up time once the call gets going. This call is being recorded, and it's currently being recorded, just those of you who joined late.
You're just warning me so I don't tell any interesting family stories?
No, it's just to make sure that everybody checks doubly before they wish anybody else a good afternoon or a good morning.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Marilyn.
I'm going to have to adopt.
I think you broke up there, Marilyn.
Oh, I just said, so perhaps, in fact, we all will just have to adopt the phrase, good day.
Hmm. Good day to you, Marilyn.
Or perhaps just say good eye.
Good eye, yeah.
Hello. This is Werner. It took a long time to get in. We waited for about 6 minutes.
Welcome, Werner. We've all had the same experience.
Yeah.
And apologies for that, but...
What we might do would be to start the conference not at the round hour, because it's almost logical that they would have round hours filled with many conferences.
And Vanna, this service is used in any number of ICANN contexts, and with the exception of this time and last time, with the exact same context, there's never been anything vaguely like this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we had that a lot in the past, so that's what I'm saying. And then we discovered that when we used, 10 past the hour, there was no problem.
Interesting.
Well, it's that everybody has the same hour. It's logical. And then they turn their thumbs, for 1 hour, and then they have a lot of work, and then again they turn their thumbs.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that AT&T, I think, who is running the service, hasn't made it an automated login. Because I use something else.
I think it's MCI, but I'd love it if it were AT&T. Wait a minute, that was recorded.
MCI.
Well, so much for the cautions, you know.
Yeah, but given that neither the AT&T you used to work with, Marilyn, is the AT&T today, nor the MCI that we all used to know, it's all a new world anyway.
Oh, yes, well, I guess we aren't going to discuss that further on a recorded call.
Well, while we're waiting, I wanted to thank you, Werner, for helping out last week. I realized I was listening to the transcription to the recording, and I heard you step in. I appreciate it. I had quite an interesting afternoon last Tuesday.
But everything went well, or is it,
Well, at the end, yeah, everything went well. I mean, as it turns out, somebody actually managed to attempt to steal my vehicle, and all my stuff was in the trunk of the car. But thankfully, my car has an anti-theft system that shut down the engine. And, sets off this really piercing alarm that, to the point where the vehicle was found 20 minutes after I reported it.
You in Philadelphia or someplace else?
I was parked at a mall.
Huh.
And in the Philly region, yeah. And, I walked out and I noticed I had the keys but not the vehicle.
Oh, interesting.
That's one.
Anyway, but it's, who knows? Sometimes people, even here in Switzerland, which is supposed to be a secure place, somebody walked into an office and just stole a computer. It turns out to be, a strange thing. They stole a thing they could never use and property guys, the guy was kind of had psychological problems. But still, you know, it happens at a place where you wouldn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are we?
Well, we are not too many, but we have a few right now. Olaf, do you want to do the roll call?
I can see apart from myself and Tina here. Ram, you're here. Edmund Shang. Carrie Carp. Marilyn Cade. Werner Staub. And I also see William Penn. I haven't heard from
him.
Yes,
I'm here. Yep.
Okay, great. That's what I see in the meeting view.
Okay. Well, we perhaps have a sufficient number of people to get going, and you know, those who join in the next couple of minutes, you know, we will be in the early stages of our conversation, and those who join later will just have to go back and listen to the MP3 off the call. Thank you for coming on this call. This is call number 5 of the GNSO IDN Working Group. I will direct your attention to the PDF document that was sent yesterday to your attention by Olaf. And that document has the proposed agenda today. Before we continue, I'd like to ask if there are any suggestions for any additional topics on the agenda. Okay, hearing none, we go to slide number 3, which is a recap of the major discussion. Actually, it's slide number 2. Just stay there. A recap of the major discussion points from last week's call. This is the Word document that has been sent along with the agenda that was mailed over to you. Do any of the members on the call here have any questions or modifications on the summary document that was sent out last week for last week? Let me go around the table and ask each member on this call. Olaf, do you have any changes to suggest?
Not so far.
Okay, thank you. Tina?
A quick question.
Go ahead.
What happens to the things that we agree on each call? Because the way that I read this Word document, I was talk about.
In fact, the idea is things that we agree upon, and you will see this later in today's agenda. We are summarizing the things that we agree upon, and then those basically will make it into our draft document report that we submit to the council. We are keeping track of that, and in fact, in today's call, we will go over what I consider the major areas where there was agreement upon, and then ask members if they're okay with that or if they'd like to see it modified.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Tina. Going around the table here, Edmund?
I'm good so far.
All right, thank you. Carrie?
Also cool.
William?
Yep, it's good.
Marilyn? Marilyn?
I'm fine. Sorry, I had you on mute.
I figured as much. Okay, Werner?
Yes, actually, nothing specific to the content, but much more the way we go about it, to address a little bit. Namely, I find it difficult to track which things that we have agreed on if it is in individual documents that we send out or, you know, are being sent out. Could we somehow use the wiki to create the dorsal spine of the, you know, the things we work on, so we could actually see where we are at for each subject?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have a document started, and Olaf, if you could note this, to have a document started that tracks the areas where we have agreement and other areas that require further discussion. I'm not certain about putting it on the wiki because it's read to everybody, Werner, And in some cases, the working group members might want to have the ability to have a private discussion within the working group first before bringing in input from anyone who reads the wiki.
May I comment just quickly as well? I mean, so far it's been a rather sequential exercise, comparatively sequential, and, well, a few areas of agreement and, well, a number of areas with various degrees of support. So I think these are still early documents, and I also question whether we actually should use the wiki to develop that further. If we shouldn't advance it one step further and consolidate it a little more with a views from the working group before we put it there.
Well, it wouldn't have to be of such a, how should I say, a formal value. Even on a wiki, people are used to having discussions. You know, it's actually that's why even the wikis have discussion pages.
Right.
So what we could do is it's just difficult to track it, and I'm not sure. Actually, it's also public because we send it to a mailing list. It has to be published anyway. So I don't see much of a difference in terms of publicity.
I guess my thought is that the mailing list itself, if somebody is providing a question or opinions on the mailing list, we don't actually publish the mailing list, but we do publish the documents that come out of our mailing list responses. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Olaf.
Well, no, let's see. I do think you're right. I have to really confirm it to myself as well that, I mean, the documents, they are indeed published on the GNSO IGN site, also in draft format. But
the
mailing list is...
Are they cutting trees?
Well, I have to revert to that. I have to check myself, actually.
Yeah, as far as I know, the mailing list itself is not a public list. What do other members think about having our kind of work in progress also go up on the wiki, where it would be effectively be accessible or readable by anybody in the world? If you're okay with it, I mean, I don't have a major objection to it, but I'm sensitive to the fact that some folks might prefer to have deliberations before it reaches any level of consensus, to have those in a more private environment. But that's my opinion. I leave it open to our group. Does the group have any opinions on this?
Carrie has a significant degree of reluctance to this sort of thing. Our discussions need to be able to range freely into extraordinarily sensitive political and cultural issues. And it would be really nice to be able to do that without having to fear any sort of a public misunderstanding and reaction to them on something as absolutely plastic as a wiki. So I would actually like to see us go on that kind of open record first when we're reasonably comfortable that we in the feeling that we've talked through all of the things that are likely to be enormously contentious. And I'm not really sure we're that far yet.
Hey, Ram, it's Marilyn. I guess I have a question. Given that our calls are transcribed,
mm-hmm.
Are they not?
They are.
Yes, they are.
Are those transcriptions on the public record?
Yes.
Oh, they are. Okay, well, then what I said really doesn't make a difference.
I was just going to say, I think that we're already transcribing our calls, and I think that probably fulfills our requirement for transparency and access, and I understand there may be other purposes for having a wiki. Are we not planning to end this working group?
In Lisbon.
Short, yeah.
Yes.
So should we, you know, I guess my comments are, we're transcribing, we've got a short lifespan, and that's the end of my comments.
Thank you.
This is Werner.
The suggestion for having a wiki was probably, you know, just on a arranging internal organization, not really for transparency. If we can make it somewhat private, that would be great. But in general, I don't have particular objection against it, but I do hear, you know, there are some concerns.
This is Werner. Basically, I would also see the wiki as a tool to make work more effective, primarily. And if that means that to be more effective, we would rather actually place a password on the top of the wiki, that's just fine with me, because it's easier to work if you have the same view, so to speak, and we know who within our group makes updates, so it's just quite a bit easier to work. Then if you have to rely on a write-up that happens later, and then there is always issues of interpretation. Last time we had, for instance, the problem of interpretation of what the titles of the slides meant. It wasn't quite the same to everybody. So there's a higher potential of misunderstandings if you have less immediate tools available.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'll make sure that I bring the same topic up on the second call today, and let's see what our membership thinks, and go from there.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. And
in the meantime, can I just confirm? I just verify that this particular mailing list is not archived and presented in
great.
The GNSO mailing list
thank
archives.
You. Thank you, Olaf.
It is right now, but it's true. I mean that we have the MP3 recordings and the transcriptions. They are on public record.
Okay. Great. I appreciate it. Thank you. And what I take away from this particular discussion are the following. One is that the members on this call do not have any significant modifications to offer to the 30th January summary document, and there is a significant interest in finding some collaborative way to keep track of the areas where we find agreement, so that we and to do it in a coherent manner rather than on a per topic per document manner, and we'll have to find an appropriate method to go do that. I now direct your attention to slide number 3. Which is really a report from me to all of you. Earlier last week, the CCNSO and GAC chairs met along with me in a consultation, and we'll be doing this quite regularly. And we were talking about, but I'm talking about specifically the CCNSO and GAC IDN working group chairs met along with me. And I have the following to report. On the CCNSO, the working group is just getting started. It's about 2 months since inception. And they are planning to do their work divided into 3 subcommittees, with one working on the second level IDN experience and bringing the knowledge that has been gained from there to light. Then there is another subcommittee that will be working on IDN TLDs, and a third that is likely to be focused on GTLD and CCTLD interactions. Early days yet, they have not, they have had, I think, one call so far, or perhaps their first call is just scheduled in the next 2 weeks or so. So we'll find out more when we, when I connect to them again, and I'll keep reporting back to you as I get data. Now, one of the interesting questions was how each of those working groups is going to be different from the joint working group. And the sense I got was that it's likely that the CCNSO-GAC joint working group might end up reviewing policy and legal issues in a little bit more detail as compared to the CCNSO working group or the GAC IDN working group separately. Now, the GAC working group chair, one of his suggestions was when IDN statements are made by different countries, his suggestion to us was to actually not state a response on the record, because there is likely to be a multiplicity of views, and to not just react to the first statement or the second or the third statement that comes across. There was also some interest from the GAC end in reviewing and contributing on the evaluation criteria for new IDN GTLDs. This specifically had to do with geopolitical names and country names, and perhaps providing some level of assistance in arriving at what those ought to be in a way that is ratified by the nation itself, by the Constitution or some other mechanism like that. Both the CCNSO and GAC working group chairs' personal views were that geographic names, it's unlikely that a single consistent policy recommendation, it's unlikely it'll come out of either of their groups. That the view that I heard, personal views, was that they're likely to differ by country. What's a requirement in one country might not actually be a requirement in another. And finally, that some rough equivalent to the ISO 3166 list, some sort of an IDN 3166 list, might be useful. So that's a report back from the joint CNSO, CCNSO, GAC, IDN working group chair consultation. Any questions or comments?
A householding question, housekeeping matters. It's quite important that we speak names, and I should have said that this is Olof saying something, but so we get the transcriptions a little more legible as to who has said what.
It's Marilyn.
Marilyn, you're in the queue and you have the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Ron, there is also a discussion in the Reserve Names Working Group that I'm a part of, and I think some others on this list may be a part of. Was that acknowledged in the discussion, or do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll follow up. We have a Reserve Names Working call on Thursday, and I'll just put that as a follow-up question for the chair.
Great.
This is William Tan.
William, hi.
Hi.
At the floor?
Yes. I just wanted to report back that, I'm part of the CCNSO IDN working group as well. And just correct, you were right that we are just starting out, and we had our first call 3 weeks ago, and we're going to have another call, and we don't really have much meat yet, but we have actually divided the groups into three parts, as you've outlined there.
Thank you, William.
This is Werner. I have a question on the IDN 3166 list.
Go ahead.
Okay. It seems to me unclear what kind of list this is going to be, because there was initially a proposal which I believe turned out to be unpracticable, to define two-letter abbreviations that would be IDN, and after some reflection, it appears that this is probably something that cannot be done. It would actually be quite contrary to what we need, because nobody wants a Cyrillic IDN entity with two letters to be used, because it would be confusable. So, would that IDN 3166 list be a list of country short names? That would be in the language itself? Would it be in multiple languages, including languages other than the country language? What kind of list would that be? Would actually this be a table or a matrix?
Well, what I've heard so far, Werner, is an acknowledgement of exactly the issues that you have listed here, in addition to a few others, and as well as a thought process that perhaps the joint working group, that might be one of the things that it's focused on. They recognize that if such a list is not created before the next GTLDs, especially should they be IDN GTLDs, be released, they realize that countries stand to be disadvantaged. So there is some level of understanding about it. As to the format and structure and methodology, the working group chairs, both of their personal opinions was it's unlikely that there's going to be a single rule that fits each nation. They were saying in some nations it'll be a multiplicity of names that is recognized in the Constitution, and in other cases it might be just a couple of names or maybe even just one name in a local script. But there is not there seems to be a clear understanding of the importance of this task, but not yet a clear understanding of the methodology to go about the creation of such a list?
This is actually, sorry, it's Werner again. To the reason why I'm asking the question, because I'm concerned about the misunderstandings that some people might feel that this is the creation of a code list. But as far as I can understand now, this doesn't seem to be a code list, and I don't think it should be a code list, but it should be a list of names that go along with the code that have the same meaning as the code.
Right. From what I understand, and again, this is a very early days, but from what I understand, both of those working groups are much less focused on the method of execution and much more focused on making sure that the names that are of vital geopolitical interest are appropriately protected ahead of time.
Carrie, without commenting on what might be appropriate action, I think they would be very well advised to steer clear of the 3166 designation.
My bad. I put the 3166 designation merely as a mnemonic.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I think...
This is Werner. I wondered whether, actually, there would be one link to 3166 if it is with respect to ccTLDs, is that there are likely to be some new TLD proposed whose meaning is going to match the meaning of an existing ccTLD. So for instance,
I'm hoping that one of our recommendations from our working group is exactly against that, and I think we have some significant agreement in that area, Werner, so I'm expecting that we have some responsibility in that area. Now, Kerry, just thinking back to what you were saying, I must point out that I have actually seen ICANN itself use 3166 as a reference, and I think it might even be in the charter of the joint working group. One of the charter items is to create something that it says is equivalent of 3166. So if you want to steer away from that, then perhaps the ICANN staff should be provided some more feedback offline.
The essence of my concern here is that the ISO 3166 list is an enumeration of 2- and 3-letter abbreviations for countries and similar governed entities, and the ccTLD labels are taken from that list, but they aren't 3166 labels. Right? They're just whatever the abbreviation that appears in the two-letter column in the 3166 table has been used as a designation for a ccTLD. That's already one level of abstraction. And if what we're now talking about is localized correlates to those abbreviations, we're two steps away from 3166, and I see no purpose whatsoever in risking having someone at the 3166 maintenance agency say, why are you invoking us for something that is utterly autonomous or utterly separate from us? So the conflation serves no possible positive purpose that I can see, and I do see some unintended snares that we may end up being caught in, or that this effort may end up being caught in. So if indeed ICANN staff is using the 3166 designation in its own documentation, all I'm suggesting is that that might be worth a second thought before propagating it.
Ron, this is Team NDQ.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is when I would also like to go back into the queue about something to say.
Admin as well.
Okay. Tina, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I think we understand Carrie's concerns, and I don't like the terminology either, but maybe we should leave that to the DAC CCNSO working group for, at some point they might have a meeting and they should discuss that a little bit further. But it certainly is staff has understood the concerns that Carrie was raising.
Thank you. Werner?
Okay, I have a question with respect to the comment you made about the potential existence of TLDs that would match existing CCTLDs, and I think maybe there may be a misunderstanding. you seem to say that we're going to, you know, find consensus that this should not exist, you know, then, you know, this would beg the question, whose right would be? Would we have the right to say that? The question would probably, if I understand correctly, much more be a delimitation of responsibility. If a new TLD matches the meaning of a CCTLD, then most probably this should be a CCTLD or a CCNSO matter. You know, and whereas if it does not, then most probably it would be a GNSO matter.
Fair enough. When I said that we have a responsibility, I think one of our jobs is to make sure that if we as a working group do believe that confusable strings or collision should be avoided, then we have a responsibility to actually state that quite clearly and categorically in our recommendations to the council. And the further delineation between, you know, GTLD, CCTLD, country names, etc., to me, that would be detail that would be contained in the text of the larger recommendation. Edwin, you have the floor.
Actually, Tina talked about most what I wanted to talk about, but I just want to add one thing. I do think there is some reason for using 3166. Probably won't bring it up here, but it's not entirely, there are some reasons that I can think of.
Please do enumerate. I'm curious.
It's a convenient list. Probably the easiest way.
Perhaps you should enumerate on the list, because I'm keen to move us to the next slides and to the next areas.
I agree.
So, Kerry, with your okay, I'd like to move forward.
Sure.
Thank you. I'm now direct your attention to slide number 4, which is merely reporting back to you that thank you for participating in prioritizing the major headlines that we've been looking at. What's clear is introduction of new GTLDs is far and away the working group's thinking that we should spend, that should be our number one priority, to look to explore the policy areas and to arrive at necessary whatever is we think is necessary in terms of policy recommendations to the council, or things that are not covered under, you know, or that might be deserving of a PDP. And then geopolitical and existing GTLD strings, I've clubbed them together. They have they're not statistically quite close to each other. And then the rights, so to speak, of existing domain name holders and the techno-policy details are clustered together as well. So I've highlighted those 5 topics that are clubbed under 3 priorities as that's what the voice of our working group, what the membership is telling me is we ought to focus much of the rest of our time between here and the and middle of March towards digging deep into these 3 major priority areas, and really having, you know, some general comments on the other 3 priorities, but not really focusing a great deal of time on it. That's what I read out of it, but I wanted to really hear from all of you if you agree with my reading of it, and if so, then I'd like to actually ask you to agree on the record that these ought to be the priorities we should focus on for the next 14 or 15 calls that we still have scheduled. We'll open it up for discussion first before I go around the table and ask if you agree with this, if you're amenable to ratifying these priorities.
Rob, it's Marilyn. I guess I want to propose that we have a mid-course. We're going to have a number of calls. We may learn in the course of those calls that one of these that did not have a high priority needs to change its priority. So I'd just like to make sure we build that flexibility in.
That's an excellent suggestion. And Olaf, if you could please make a note that at the end of February, in our meeting on February 27th, if we could ask the question again and ask if members feel that there should be another item that needs our attention.
Okay, noted.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none, let me pose the question to you, which is, would you, as a working group member, endorse these priorities and agree that we should focus the majority of our time until we get to the mid-course check, that we should focus the majority of our time on introduction of new GTLDs, geopolitical details, existing GTLD strings, existing domain name holders, and technopolicy details? That's a question I'm posing. Edmund?
I pretty much agree that the only part I wanted to highlight was the geopolitical details. I'm not sure what completely it covers, but I'm not sure how much time we'll be spending on that, and whether we would actually get to priority 3 at all. Those are just my comments, but the general flow is, it's consistent with the discussion.
Thank you. Gary?
I'm subject to some bureaucrat's anguish at them calling this a ratification. I think it's a little bit too formal a terminology, but I'm certainly quite comfortable pursuing these issues in the ranked order.
Thank you. William?
Yep. I agree with the priorities.
Thank you. Marilyn?
Yes.
Thank you. Werner?
Yes, I agree. I just think that we might try to put as early as possible some more meat to the meanings, of the of those headings, because some of them turned out to have different meanings for depending on who participated, such as technopolicy detail or geopolitical details. We might add EG and put a couple of questions that would belong to that as early as possible.
Excellent point. I agree. And Olaf, if you could mark this as an action item for us to write up some explanatory, I'd say no more than 2-sentence explanation of each of these headlines, and we post them to the group later this week.
Hi, Ram. Sorry, I'm here. I'm Hong Xie, a liaison from ALAC. Sorry I'm late. I was at ALAC call.
Hi, welcome.
I agree with the list of priority, but I have little concern about the item 4, privacy and who is details. It has not been prioritized, so I wonder, are we going to spend some time on this? Because it's very important for the domain name holders, IDN holders.
So here is the conundrum, right? While we realize that it's an important priority, in our working group, where everybody got a chance to state where they thought we should focus the majority of our attention, our membership is suggesting that we should focus on what I've kind of clubbed as priorities 1, 2, 3. Now, what Marilyn suggested was perhaps mid-course, and I've agreed to it, that on the 27th of February, which still gives us another 7 or 8 meetings left before we conclude this working group, that we will go back and review, and should we feel that there is an item or two that requires further analysis, we would have the ability to, for our membership to raise its voice and say that needs to be focused on.
This is Werner. I just have a suggestion. There may be an opportunity for things that are not prioritized by individual members of the group to get together and try to do some work in parallel. Specifically, I didn't put Huis as a priority, but I think it's very important. I mean, we have had quite a bit, we've worked quite a bit on this, specifically in core. in the context of IDN. So I would certainly be interested in working on, you know, together with other people who are looking into who is.
Hey, Ron, can you put Tina in the queue?
Okay, Tina, you're in the queue and you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. So I just have a question about the priorities, and I can't remember if you finished going around the table or not.
Yeah, I was just about to come over to you and Olaf, but I wanted to come to you, obviously.
Oh, okay. Great. So, how did you actually group the two different topics in priority two and three?
By the four.
Your political details and existing details, these strengths of priority two, but shouldn't it have been, like, two and three?
Well, I merely did it by score, Tina, and the reason, so let me walk through a little bit of my thinking. My thinking is that, for instance, with a 42 score on introduction to new GTLDs, I suspect that we will have at least two, maybe even four calls that are devoted almost completely to that topic. While I anticipate that the ones that have a little lower score, we will end up devoting that much lesser time. So it really is. The clubbing together really helps me organize the amount of time we have to the number of topics that we can discuss.
Well, so to me it looks like if we take the top three priorities, that was one, introduction of new GTLDs, two, geopolitical details, and three, existing GTLD strengths.
You could certainly view it that way. I mean, I did this in terms of, in my mind, we would have 1 week at least, perhaps even 2 weeks, where the only thing we talk about is introduction of new GTLDs, and perhaps another week where the only thing we talk about is geopolitical details and existing GTLD strings, so on and so forth. And whether you want to call them priority 1 through 5 or priorities 1, 2, 3, that's I'm fine with it either way.
Well, to me, it just looked like it was one to five. Because I don't think the groupings in two and three actually have the.
Well, let me speak to that for a second here. Our working group has clearly said that existing GTLD strings is about as important as discussing geopolitical details. And similarly, that technopolicy details is about as important as discussing existing domain name orders. So to me, in terms of allocation of time, the working group's commentary is allocate about equal time for those topics.
Ron, it's Marilyn. I think that was what I read the prioritization to be, that it was an allocation of time and focus. And that's why I made my comment about as we go through this, we may find that our allocation of time or our need for more expertise changes slightly as we work on a particular topic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Tina. Tina, are you... With your comments added in, are you okay with this prioritization that we've got here in terms of allocation of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be 1 through 5, but as long as it's something that we can pick up again at a later call, I'm fine.
Why don't we split the difference and call them priorities 1, priorities 2, A and B, and priority 3, A and B.
Fantastic solutions.
Works for me.
Okay.
Okay, and Olaf?
Yeah, two things only, and that's, first of all, on the suggestion from Werner, and you wanted me to confirm that. I think it's an excellent idea to give a little more meat to the headlines, which may cover, any load, actually, as they run. So, going halfway back to where we started with them, where we had subtitles to them, I think could do a lot of good. I'd try to do that in the following these calls. And also, just a quick comment to to Hong Kui, well, I think this priority four on privacy and who is detailed shouldn't be understood as underestimation of the importance of that. It's rather so that in this particular context, when we talk about what are the specificities in the IDN world for these matters, it got a slightly lower priority for our working group. I mean, this is, of course, a very, very much debated topic already, and there's a particular working group for it in a much more generic sense. And that's where a lot of these items are discussed. So I think we should see it from a particular perspective here, that it's only the IDN specificities which are addressed when we look upon that.
Thank you, Olaf. So with that, we move to slide number 5, which perhaps addresses some of the questions that were asked earlier. What I have done is, based on the summary documents that have come out from both our calls on January 23rd and on January 30th, what I've done is compiled here areas that, reading through the documents, and I'm certain I've missed certain areas, but reading through the documents, areas on the left-hand side that show, where it's been documented already, that agreement exists. And I view agreement as a term that basically says that the statement can be included as a consensus view of the working group in our report, while support merely means there is some gathering of positive opinion for a stated position, but competing positions may exist and we have not yet reached consensus. And the goal here is to actually take this, to build to continue building on this list of agreements and list of topics where we have support, especially the support and the agreement lists as they relate to specific agenda items that we discuss each week. We will add further depth to it, but it gives us an initial starting structure for our report to the council end of next month.
Can Gary ask for a clarification here?
Okay, Carrie, you're in the queue.
And Marilyn would like to be in the queue.
Marilyn in the queue. Anyone else in the queue? Okay, Carrie, you have the floor.
Does point 2 in the left column really say what we want it to say? And if I read it exactly as I believe it is worded, it's subsumed by point 1. And I suspect that there's something else that point 2 is supposed to state, but I will ask before...
That's taken directly out of the document, so I guess the homework item is, Olaf, if you and I could go back and review point number 2 from the document later and post it on our working group list, what was meant there.
Yeah. The specific thing that I would like for you to consider in that case is, does point 2 cover the no manana to block manana case? Or,
indeed.
Huh?
If I remember right, Kerry, that was exactly the idea that Espana would not block Espana.
Okay. In that case, I think that point 2 should be worded to indicate that far more specifically, because, again, as I read it, 2 is just a restatement of half of 1.
Understood. Anything else, Kerry?
That's it.
Okay. Marilyn?
Okay. I have several things, and a couple of them. First of all, the word consensus in the GNSO is a quasi-legal term in the sense that it means a vote of a certain percentage that the council takes to determine that something is, quote, see? We've been using the term, Rom, broad agreement at the task force level when the task forces are formulating their support. So I just mentioned that, and since we use the term consensus here, you either ought to put it in quotes or maybe use the term broad agreement.
I'm amenable to using broad agreement. I mean, consensus is merely shorthand, and no problem changing it to broad agreement if that brings better clarity. priority and distinction from what the GNSO Council does.
The second thing that I would say on item five, I understand that somewhere in the transcription it may say derived from IPR rights, but there are no IP rights in the GTLD top-level domains nor in the CC top-level domains. Those strings are assigned by ICANN, and it would be we need to be very careful that we are not in any way supporting the idea that the awardee of the management of a string would be gaining some form of an intellectual property right.
Got it.
The UDRP does not need revision. I'm not sure that I think we actually know that yet. I thought we're going to possibly hear from the WIPO staff who've done a number of UDRPs and IDNs and try to be informed on whether any revision was necessary. I'm not saying revision is necessary, but I thought we still needed to do a little exploration on that. On the support for, I think that is actually some support for, rather than support for. And for instance, on item two, we're showing support for existing provides protection of and reduces confusion for existing domain name holders. I think there is also, though, a competition issue that we began to identify initially in the Amsterdam meeting and hopefully continuing to work on through this group, that there has to be some balance or we will have a world that is merely a clone of the Latin world into the IDN world.
Understood.
On number three, I think we probably want to put the word Sunrise in quotes there. There is a working group that Council launched, and they're not calling it Sunrise due to Carrie might know what the new term is. The initial launch processes or something?
I'm not sure that's been quite settled.
But you might just want to put it in quotes there just so everybody knows that what the intent is. It might not end up being called Sunrise.
Got it.
Thank you, Marilyn. Any other comments on this slide?
This is Olof. Could I be in the queue, please?
You have the floor.
Just very quickly recapping Marilyn's comments here. I think, well, I'm drafting as we speak in a certain sense, but priority rights for new strings do not derive from existing strings. I do agree that we should be very careful because this is deep water, but could perhaps conflict with IPR rights or could be in conflict with, which is something else.
If I could respond, yeah. So, for instance, if we're suggesting that AT&T has a famous and well-known brand, and so if someone else came along and wanted to propose AT&T rather than the company who holds the famous and well-known brand, is that what you're trying to?
Indeed, there is a conflictual situation. There could be a conflictual situation rather than it as a right, because I would agree that perhaps not really appropriate in this context.
But I think, Olof, that this topic had to do with whether the holder of a present string allocation would be given the priority right for an IDN version of that string.
That's what the first part of it says.
Uh-huh.
But the second part, which is IPR rights, is should be put in as negative rather than as a potential positive. We shouldn't be drafting this, but I'm just trying to get to the sense of what would be a more acceptable wording.
And so would you just read it again?
Rather that after the comma, but could conflict with IPR rights.
But I don't think you mean that, right? Because that would read priority rights for new strings could because if they conflict with an I think maybe we need to take further discussion on the second phrase here and move it over to some.
I think it'd rather put it as a separate phrase.
Yeah. Olaf, I have a suggestion because this is merely trying to extract from prior documents that it seems to me that the onus is on us to get the to get not only the headline but to also get the text underneath the headline that was in the original document to get that out for our membership to read and review and comment upon, because I fear that we are changing the headlines here. And the only reason I put the headlines was so that it would bring our membership, bring these issues to the fore for our membership. But when it comes to the actual document, I think we need to go to an actual Word document or something and work that potentially on the mailing list rather than on this call.
Good. So we just move that into further discussion, right, Ron?
Right.
Could I just... one more comment, and that is on the UDRP. I did send out the results from, well, the studies I did on the current, the UDRP that WIPO had executed so far on IDN second-level domains,
okay.
Something like 60. I think I sampled some 35 out of them. And I also had discussion at length with the WIPO staff, which have been doing it, and so it's based on, and I reported that back before Christmas to the working group. So, it is really based on what it is so far that it doesn't need revision with regard to an IDN GTLD rollout. There's a little caveat there that it might need revision, but that would rather be based on experience.
Thank you, Olaf.
This is William Tan. I'd like to be placed in the queue.
William, you have the floor.
Edmund.
Edmund, you're next. Okay.
I'd like to comment on number three, agreement, single script adherence at all levels not enforceable. I'm not sure, this seems like a given for DNS that we, obviously we can't enforce anything beyond like whatever the registry opens registration for. So that's kind of, that's a given truth, that's tautology, because you just can't enforce anything lower level than what you have control over. But I thought this would be something that has, that would say that single script adherence cannot be enforced across all TLDs. Like for certain TLD, they might say that, yeah, we will only open registration for the same script as the TLD string, but for another TLD, they might say that, no, we don't care, or we can't do that.
Okay, William, this is Ram. I guess my thought is that given that we're talking, our scope is on GTLDs, I would think that, and because all GTLDs come under an ICANN contract, I would think that, across all GTLDs, such adherence, at some level is possible, but not at all levels.
Right.
Can Carrie comment specifically on one aspect of this?
Okay, Carrie. Edmund, are you okay with having Carrie take
sure,
the floor ahead of you?
Not
Thank you, Carrie. You have the floor.
Okay. One of the most, I don't know quite the word, one of the things that's being focused on most clearly in the discussion of protocol revision is script mixing constraint. And to the extent that what currently is simply a recommendation to avoid mixing scripts is enforced on the protocol level, there's not going to be any registry opt-in, opt-out on all of this. I'm assuming there's going to be quite a bit of residual latitude in any case. But the notion of script mixing is not solely a policy issue. It is also an issue that is, as I say, being considered with significant intensity in the discussion of the protocol revision.
have any redirect?
Yes. So Terry, in response to what you said, so if the IDNA updates the protocol revision group does decide that restriction at different levels would be just a recommendation, a strong recommendation nonetheless, is there anything in our recommendation that, is there something that we would want to propose that GTLDs should always adhere to that restriction?
The revised IDNA is not going to be a set of recommendations. The revised IDNA is going to determine what can appear in a registered ACE label. The discussion about the extent to which such a restriction should be implemented on the protocol level is what this group would want to chime into. And if there are any severe concerns about an increase in protocol level restraint, those concerns need to be voiced before the protocol is revised. And all I'm doing is saying at this point that this is an issue that is under consideration on the protocol revision level, not purely on the policy level. So we're not talking about recommendations anywhere. We're talking about what is possible and what is impossible, or what will become
impossible.
There's
a feedback loop that we can go through.
Yep.
You, we can say that we would like to strongly recommend that, you know, the IDNA update technical committee does hopefully enforce that at the protocol level rather than just...
Well, I mean, that's what that group is considering. The group is considering whether protocol level constraint is necessary to provide the security that is obviously not derived from a guideline that isn't being followed.
Okay, so how does this tie into our work? Because the way I'm reading this is that the item number item number three is saying that that's clearly out of scope for us.
Yeah. Rob, do we have time for this excursion?
How about just a couple of minutes on this, and then we need to get to Edmund, and then move on to Tina's lab test results.
I think I can simply summarize by noting that there has been some heated disagreement about the advisability of deferring key aspects of the policy discussion until we know what the protocol constraints are going to end up being. There's a range of feeling on that, and I'm not really sure what we can do beyond noting it.
Could I make a very quick comment here? I think the gist of this one is really that single script adherence across all levels is not enforceable.
If that's utterly impossible. There is no consideration of crossing the dot with this constraint. We are talking exclusively about what can happen in a label. If a registry wants to try to implement some sort of a multi-label constraint, that's the registry's business. That will not appear on the protocol level.
Okay, thank you for the discussion on this. Edmund, you have the floor.
Yes. Number five on the left, is that for second level? Or, because it doesn't specify. If it reads for the top level, I don't think there are some issues there that seems like it's not trying to address the top level.
I think the intent was for the top level rather than for the second level.
It was.
Yes.
Okay. So what does that really mean in terms of the recommendation is that a current TLD, whether it's a CCTLD or a GTLD, would not have any priority to have something that they would feel it is derived from its existing TLD?
Yeah, I think and other members should jump in if they feel that I'm paraphrasing it incorrectly. But my recollection of the discussion is the following: that if you have a have a particular TLD string in ASCII, if you apply for the TLD string or if you ask for the TLD string's quote-unquote equivalent in an IDN GTLD, that application does not get priority over someone else who's asking for a new IDN TLD string. And there's a separate area that says that, you know, one does way that new GTLDs should neither preempt IDN GTLDs, nor should there be, and also that confusion and collision, should be limited.
This is Werner.
Okay, Werner.
I thought that we put this priority rights do not derive from existing strings, specifically excluding the question of confusability. Because as long as there is no confusability problem, we can say that. As soon as there is, we can no longer say that.
I agree. And that's, perhaps that was not clear, but that was my intent as well.
Okay. So, I guess I still don't understand what 5 means then. I think there will be further explanation on it, perhaps.
But the way I understand it, Edmund, I think it's worth discussing it here for another moment, but the way I understand it is, if .asia applies to .asia, say, in the Han characters, and there is someone else who applies for,
AZN.
Yeah, AZN, in the same character set, that .asia doesn't necessarily have a higher priority in that area, as long as there is some determination that AZN isn't confusable with Asia.
Well, Ram, now I'm in the queue and home.
Sure. And you have the floor.
Okay. I also have a question about item 5, the priority rise and ITR issue. I'm really confused by the expression here. What is the relationship between the two parts separated by the comma? I agree with the first part. It seems as the meaning is obvious. There's no priority rise for new string deriving from existing GTLD string. That's okay, but how to read it along with the second part that could derive from IPR, right? Let's use the example. You just used you used just now, this .asian, .asian case. And right, .asian, .asia could be confusing. But first of all, sorry, I used the .asia case. .asia manager does not have priority rights over the new GTLD string. But .asia operator also does not have any intellectual property rights. And to my knowledge, there's no GTLD manager have any intellectual property rights, copyright or trademark rights over the existing GTLD strings. I haven't discovered such a case.
That's exactly right, and I think we had one of our members point that out exactly a little while ago in this conversation. And perhaps the way it is written is, it seems to me that the way number 5 is written is unclear, and Olaf suggested some modifications, but I think our job here is to take these items, to add further details on it, put them out on our list, and encourage discussion on the list. And I think here we will note that particularly item 5, agreement item number 5 has some wording that is unclear, but the general statement here is that slide 5 in total is merely headlines for us to think about, and the actual details will have to be done on the working group list itself.
Well, of course, but seeing as it's what is being agreed upon, you see what is in the square, we've already agreed on this.
It's Marilyn, but it says draft conclusions, and I think the follow-on notes, if I understood it, because I was the person who raised that question, we all agreed, I think, Ram, that Olaf's follow-on notes would, in particular, take the put a period after existing strings and pull out that second item for further discussion on the list to see what, if anything, would go back in. Is that right?
Thank you, Marilyn. That's exactly right.
Agree.
Yeah, I don't think we're not locking it down here. These are draft conclusions, but if they're not accurate, then they need to be made accurate before we say we have broad agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This is Werner.
Edmund, I have to have one more point. Sorry? Hello?
Hello?
Werner, you have the floor?
I'm sorry, I didn't want to say. Just a very short, I want to make a suggestion that we add respectively always if it is for second level, first level, top level, or for both, because it's sometimes confusing.
Yeah.
Noted, Olaf, if you could
absolutely
note that. Thank you, Edmund.
Yeah, I actually have one more point on the, it's actually number six on the left. I know that Olaf did a presentation in Sao Paulo, fairly thorough, but I'm still not convinced that it is the case, and I just want to take a note that I don't think I agree on this particular note. I agree on this particular note, but Olaf earlier mentioned that it's actually on the second level, which I am not completely convinced that I can agree with.
Thank you, Edmund. Any other discussion on this slide? I'm eager to move to our next slide and get to hear Tina's IDN lab test results. Thank you. Attention on slide number six now, IDN lab test results. Tina, I thought perhaps we could ask you to spend just a minute or two laying out what the objectives were and then present the results for our working group to consider. And I'm also wondering if you could provide us some details on the next steps and a timetable.
Well, at least I can do some of that because, you and I didn't have a chance to talk before the call, but unfortunately the results are not out yet. But let's just go back a little bit. So the objectives of the lab test was to do a test in a laboratory setting that was basically a copy of the root zone with the root zone server software and resolvers, or the most common resolvers out there, and to see how they would react towards requests for resolving internationalized strings, including IDNs at the top level. And the design of that test, well, first of all, we hired Osnomica to do that because of their DNS expertise. They're running one of the root servers as well, and so we thought, that would be a good choice. They designed the test that was posted in December. We decided to put in a short public comment period, sort of like in the last minute, and that pushed out the conduction of the test a little bit. But there wasn't a lot of comments on the design of the test, so the test was conducted as it was designed. And I have received some results from Autonomica, but we're working on the last details of the report before we can publish how the test actually went. Now, in terms of looking forward, one thing is clear, and that is that the test needs to be performed live in the root zone as well, so that we need to compare things that happened in the laboratory with what is going on live. And in addition, there's been a lot of discussions, and we're right now discussing internally what to do in terms of application testing and how far I can really ought to be going in terms of testing different applications for their IDN capabilities. But obviously a next step plan and timetable will come out as soon as we can, although the laboratory test results are coming out before that. I was hoping to have the test results out last week, but it was a very busy week with the ICANN North American regional event, and there was also another domain event in Los Angeles that week. This week, a lot of well, some operations staff is here in Brussels working with the policy staff, but I think we will find a time to get the posting up this week. So you'll see the test results or the details of that in time for the next call.
Tina, what results do you have in general that can be shared? Have the test results shown any showstoppers so far? Or do we see from the test results any major areas where as a community, you know, we're going to be told when the results come out, we're going to be told you cannot move forward? Or can you give broad brushstrokes of where the results are going, since you've seen the preview copy of the report and it's due for publication in just a couple of days? So it sounds like it's in its final stages. What are the highlights?
Well, it is it is in its final stages, and I can understand that you're pushing me on it because, of course, it's very interesting for everybody to get to know the results. But I would rather hold that back until we're actually able to publish the report online and then publish it for everybody at the same time. There's this call. There's the other working groups that are working on IDNs. There's been quite a lot of events going on, not just in L.A., but also I think it was in the Middle East and other places last week, and everybody was pushing to get the results. So I'm not trying to, like, hold information back. I just would rather have it published for everybody at the same time. I can say, though, that Autonomica did, in December, when they designed the test, they did do a sort of like a pre-test to see if the setup was actually working, and that test went fine.
What is the meaning of that test went fine?
It means that the way that they had designed and set up the system, the laboratory environment, was working in the way that it was expected to work. That means that it was working.
They designed something and they set it up the way they designed it, or they designed something and what was it that they designed, and what was the outcome of that design?
Well, they designed basically a copy of root servers. So the way that they set up the hardware and the software that they chose, that worked in the same way as the live root zone is working. So that what that meant was that the way that they had set up and designed everything was possible. It was feasible for running the test that they wanted to run.
So it was running. It's Marilyn, Tina. So it was running the same kind of test that any of us would run on a system wide. It was basically a walled off but fully operational system that replicates the functionality of the real system.
Yeah, that's right.
And what was tested in that walled off private system was an IDN TLD.
Well, I don't know if I understand your question right, but actually that was from the President Advisory Committee, right? They got a list of internationalized top-level strings.
Understand.
Provided to them in Punicode.
Understand. So they...
So the test design was set up to test how the root server software and resolvers in the lab tests or in the lab environment, if they were capable of handling those strings.
And what you're saying is that
the result of that is what's coming out in the report. Now, the pre-test that they did was to make sure that things were actually running the right way.
So it sounds to me like the pretest results are kind of a red herring, because all the pretest results are then saying is we designed it a certain way. We are glad to report that we were able to set it up the way we designed it. But I guess the interesting piece of data that this working group would have value in is in this closed-loop environment that was set up to test IDN TLDs, not only was the environment set up correctly, but that after the IDN TLDs were tested, you were saying that the results were fine.
Well, that...
And I'm trying to get some granularity on what the meaning of fine is.
I know. So whether or not the conduction of the test showed technical issues or no technical issues, that's what this group wants to know. That's what will come out in the report, hopefully this week. All of these technical tests that we're doing in lab environment and as we move forward in a live environment are intended to show if there are any technical issues with inserting internationalized top-level labels in the root for production. So it's essentially to show if there's any technical showstopper for moving forward with this work. So, of course, that's what you want to know. Now, the laboratory piece of that is done, but the result is something that I do want to publish online for everybody at the same time. So,
Gina, it's Marilyn. Can I just clarify something that you just said? You said that this test is about the root. So I have a question that I think will just need to be dealt with later, but I want to put it on the record. So the issue of improperly configured systems by ISPs and other parties that will also have to be involved in the final delivery of resolving an IDN, that, of course, was not, that's not what this test was about. Is that right?
That's right. That's not what this test was about. And one of the reasons for that is that, well, first of all, we wanted to split things up.
Sure.
And secondly, the IDN protocol is a protocol that sits at the client. So...
The IDNA protocol.
So whether or not ISPs can resolve a TLD or not has nothing really to do with IDNs. It, what that comes back to is the existing and old problem with when a new TLD is inserted in the root zone, ISPs have to adopt it. Now, whether or not that's an XN dash dash string or something that doesn't begin with an XN dash dash in the string is, as far as I can see, irrelevant. So an ISP that did not want to accept a TLD that was longer than three characters, which is some of the problems we've seen so far.
That
we will have the same problem with IDNs, but it's not a different kind of problem.
Not sure the question was didn't want to, but I'm not going to debate that issue here.
Well, yeah. Well, so the question of ISPs and different websites. If you need to, for example, purchase something online and you set up an account and you need to enter an email address. Whether or not that field for the email address will accept a certain address is an issue regardless of whether we talk about IDNs or new TLDs at all.
Sure. I just wanted to be sure that I understood the complete focus of the test. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Tina? Okay, hearing none. Tina, thank you for providing this report. I will say this. I strongly encourage ICANN to publish these results as expeditiously as possible, because I think with the passage of time, knowing that results are there, but that they have not yet been published, I think it allows for speculative thinking to come through, and I'm sure it's not any news to you, but sometimes even I think high level statements that say there are showstoppers or there are no showstoppers or something like that might have some value, because I've spoken to a number of members in the community, and perhaps only partly due to the silence, I've had folks ask me in my technical role, do you think think there's something wrong. And so it's merely a comment and a recommendation that sooner is better in this area.
Yeah, no, I totally understand, and I'm sorry. You know, it certainly is not intended for people to start speculating. And I haven't had the report for that long, I can tell you that. We're simply just working through some details of getting as much and as relevant information out in that report as possible. And, you know, I'm doing my best to get it published, you know, as quickly as at all possible.
And I commend your efforts, and I think it's the comments are aimed much larger than any single individual. It's, I think, in the best interest of the community that that the organization that you work for is cognizant of the swirl that happens outside of this. So, okay.
Understood.
Thank you. Folks, we're at the 90-minute mark, and we have not begun, looking through the IAB document or going through a review of the IAB document. I'd like to propose that we push that for our next meeting because we just don't have run out of time here. And I would like to...
Yeah,
I'm sorry? What was that? Okay. I would like to therefore direct your attention to slide number 8, and slide 8 really talks about our plan for the next meeting. I'd like for us to, this will be Olaf, myself, and I might ask a few others of you to help in drafting a draft outcomes report that our working group can start working through, and that outcomes start to list out, you know, agreements and support. And we can start, you know, doing some bashing of the words and getting to clear and common agreement. And I'd also like to, you know, clearly discuss the IAB document, and should the IDN test result document be made available to us ahead of time, at that time, should it be published, then we may have a chance to discuss it. But also I'd like to start getting a great deal of our attention next week to focus on priority number 1, which is new GTLD strings, and spend a good deal of time on that area. Before I close the call, I wanted to ask if anybody has any closing comments or any other items that they'd like to bring up.
I just had one. It's Marilyn.
Okay, Marilyn, go ahead.
And I'm sorry, maybe you reported on this and I missed it earlier. You and the chair of the Reserve Name Working Group had talked about the liaison to the reserve name group.
Right.
And I am chair for the day, Thursday, in his absence.
Got it.
So do you have a sense of, you know, will we have someone by the time of that meeting, or, and we are transcribing our meetings, and just in case the answer is no.
Understood. I think we will have someone. It might possibly be me, but
okay.
Don't have that wrapped up as yet, Marilyn, but we'll have an answer for you before Thursday.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other closing comments from anyone else? Let me go around the table. Edmund?
I'm good.
William?
Good. Thanks.
Gary?
Nothing.
Werner?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, no.
Okay, Tina?
Nope.
Olaf?
Nope.
Thank you all for your time. Appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you in the next call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.